Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Hey, as you're having a seat today, get your Bibles out and go with me to Romans, the sixth chapter. We've been in a series called Should Christians Sin? I need to ask the question now that it's been asked already once. Should Christians sin? No, we should not. No, we still do though, right? We mess up from time to time. There's things that we stumble in. But we get up, we repent, we dust off, and we turn and follow God's way. We confess it to the Lord, and he cleanses us. So when we ask, should Christians sin, we're not talking about just messing up here and there. We know that's going to happen, and we know that we shouldn't do that. But really, the question is, should we continue in sin? Should we continue to willfully, unrepentantly sin because we know that the grace of God is available for us? And the answer is a resounding no. No, we should not. We've already learned in this series that we shouldn't sin because we're dead to it. Death changes our relationship to sin, so we need to live like a changed person and leave the sin behind. And that's really the sinful lifestyle. We need to leave it behind. Our baptism to Christ identifies us with him, with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we show with our lives, we break from the past, and we press forward into the future God has for us. Now, as a side note, this past weekend, 84 people got baptized here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. That awesome? Anybody got baptized last weekend? Just give me a wave right now. Hey, wonderful. Hey, awesome. Awesome. Congratulations. Hey, excellent. Excellent. We're so blessed that you guys came and got baptized, and we know that you have a new life in Christ, and so keep going. Keep following Jesus, and God is going to do great things in your life. Finally, we talked about that we can walk in newness of life, and we've got a new pulse. There's something new coursing through our spiritual veins, new pursuits on a new path, and that we crucify the sinful man so we're no longer enslaved to sin, and we can live free. Now, I know that was a mouthful. That was a lot. If you did not get those messages yet, I would encourage you to go online, go on our app, and you can get a hold of the full understanding because it will bless you and it will help you in your walk with God. Romans chapter 6, verse number 8 and 9 for us today. Let's continue on with these thoughts. And it says this in Romans chapter 6, verse number 8 and verse number 9. It says, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. I want you to notice this is something that we as followers of Jesus Christ, that we believe that we shall also live with him. We died to sin, but we live with Christ. Verse number 9, knowing, everybody say knowing. You know, when the Bible says we know something, we ought to know it. We ought to know it enough to live it out in our lives. This is not just something that we mentally acknowledge and then move on with and live some other way. No, this is, should be incorporated into our life, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Now, we understand this principle because Jesus came, and he came and he died, but now he lives again forever. See, Jesus came and he died to sin, the Bible says. He became the sacrifice for our sins. He took it upon himself on the cross. But as he died, he only died once for sin. I need to take you on a train of thought for a moment because in the Bible, we find that there were people that were raised again to life. Is that correct? In the Old Testament, you found out that there were some guys and a friend of theirs had died, and so they're digging a tomb to put the body of this man in. And while they're digging the tomb, a band of raiders comes up. And so what do? They take the body of that dead friend and whoosh, they throw him in the tomb of a man of God, a prophet. And when the body of this man touches the dead bones of the man of God, something takes place. Here's these guys, and they're looking out for the raiders. Are they coming? Do you see them? Where'd they go? They're on their horses. They're running by. Hey, watch out. And all of a sudden, here comes their dead friend. He resurrected. I mean, if it was me, I'd have been like, all right, do you see him? You got him? Ah! You know, like, run away. What just happened right now? Might have even been tempted to go in and touch the bones of the man of God myself. Hey, if he came to life, what's going to happen to me? But they wouldn't have done that because they shouldn't be touching dead people. That was part of the law. But how about Jesus? Here's Jesus. And every funeral Jesus goes to, he interrupts, doesn't he? Here he is at the widow of Nain's funeral, and he just puts his hand on the casket, calls him to life, and he sits up in the casket, gives the son back to her mother. Jesus goes to the funeral of Lazarus. What does he do? He shouts, Lazarus, come forth! And here comes Lazarus, still bound in the grave clothes. He said, let him loose. People came from far and wide to see Lazarus. Peter, the apostle, here's the people of God. Peter and Paul both raised people from the dead. You can find it in the Bible. Here's a lady named Tabitha who died. And he says, Tabitha, arise. Takes her by the hand and he lifts her up. Brings her back out alive. Apostle Paul was preaching long one night. Here's a young man. He's sitting up in a window. How many of you know it's a bad idea when you're listening to a long-winded preacher to sit in a third-story window. This guy fell backwards and died. Bible says that he kept preaching, went down, raised the guy from the dead, came back up, finished his sermon, ate some breakfast, and moved on to the next place. Now, all of these people that died, they died again. Even though they were raised again to physical life, there came a moment where they passed away again. But Jesus' death was different because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He went to the grave. He was buried. But on the third day, he rose again, never to die again. He now lives eternally. And now the Bible says that we believe that we shall live with him. That as we put our faith and hope in Jesus Christ, that now our trust in his resurrection is our resurrection. That the death he died for sin, and the death we died to sin. But now we believe in what Jesus did on our behalf, and because he was raised again to life, now we have that same resurrection. And that resurrection shows us some things about our life, and it shows us about what we're leaving behind. Remember, we're asking the question, should Christians sin? And we say, no, here's another reason why, because we've been raised to a new life. And now we can walk in that life, and if we understand what the resurrection means, if we can see what the resurrection shows, it'll show us how to live the life that God has for us so that you don't have to go back and be bound by sin and darkness and death and the devil any longer. No, now you can live in the fullness that God has for you. Today, what does the resurrection show us? Resurrection shows, first thing is this, that Christ is the source of life. Christ is the source of life. You know, before Christ, we were looking for the source. Books have been written about it. People looking for the fountain of youth. Presently today, there are doctors and scientists and people looking for ways to prolong our life. They're looking for source things. They're looking for source code and DNA. They're looking for early earth elements. They're looking for the way that all this stuff started. But not only that, beyond that, people are looking for some meaning in life. They're searching online and trying to find it in an experience. They're thinking, well, maybe if I take that vacation because they look so happier. Maybe if I go to that place and get that selfie, it will make me fulfilled in life. Maybe if I accomplish something. Maybe if I build a business. Maybe if I build a family. Maybe if I show that I'm something. Maybe if I'm better than my father. Maybe if I go further than my mother ever went. Then maybe, just maybe. Maybe if I'm the first person in my family to get a degree. And all these achievements and accomplishments are really the search that we have looking for life. We're looking for value. We're looking for the source. But how many of you know all of these things, no matter how great they are and how wonderful and fulfilling they can be in the natural, none of them will fulfill you ultimately. All of them will come up empty. And as they come up empty, we'll find that there's still a yearning and a longing because these things are not the source. Outside of God, they come up as vanity. And what did the author of Ecclesiastes say? He said, if all we have is in this life, then ain't drink and be merry because tomorrow we die. And that's the type of lifestyle that maybe some of us in this place lived before Christ. You were searching for that source and you couldn't find it. You came up empty. So what did you do? You searched for it in a bottle. You searched for it in the bedroom. Searched for it in belittling others and beating up others and making yourself stronger that way. Maybe you searched for it and being the silly one and you just went crazy and did whatever you could do to gain the approval and the acceptance of man. Maybe you were that life of the party, but you were empty on the inside. Might have taken you down roads that you never dreamt that you would go down, and it turned into drugs and alcohol addiction or sexual addiction. Might have been that you just threw yourself into work because when you found out that getting married and having kids didn't fulfill you like you thought it would, now all of a sudden you threw yourself into work and you threw yourself into being a workaholic. And we were addicted and afflicted until the time that we found the source, Jesus Christ. Till the time we connected our lives with the eternal, and God, who raised Jesus from the dead, raised us up from the dead. And now we can see that there's a purpose and that there's a hope. Jesus is the source of life. It's interesting when we think about the teaching throughout the Bible about the resurrection. We know that Jesus was raised from the dead. And there's coming a day that we will all have a bodily resurrection. You know that that's what the Bible says. It says that there's going to come a day where Jesus returns. And it says that the earth and the sea will give up their dead. That's quite an interesting thought, isn't it? Because think about that. How many people died at sea? Or how many people, you know, I think about those naval, you know, burials of sea and things like that. There are people that are in the oceans that are buried. And sometimes people get tripped up on this kind of thing because they're like, oh, don't cremate me because I want to come back at the resurrection. And it's like, excuse me? Do you think that whether you burn a body, burn the bones, or whether you keep them or bury them, that that's going to make a difference when Jesus comes back? Because if the dead in the ocean are going to be given up, I mean, they were eaten by fish. Hello? So do you think that those bodies eaten by fish are any less worse off than a body that's been burned? It doesn't matter if you're cremated, doesn't matter if you're buried, doesn't matter if you're thrown in the ocean, doesn't matter if you're eaten by a bear or a tiger or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to come a day where Jesus comes back, and the Bible says death and the grave and the ocean, all of it is going to give up the dead. What does that mean? That spiritually we're going to be resurrected, and we're going to receive a new physical body. And that new physical body is not going to be like the body that was sown into the earth. No, just like you sow a seed and it comes out something different, guess what's going to happen? We're going to receive the eternal body. And it's going to be something different than what we're bound to right now. We're neither marrying nor giving in marriage any longer. There's no need to produce more children. See, we're eternal. We're like the angels of God in that moment. It's going to be a supernatural spirit body. It's going to be a body without sin. Oh, I long for that day that I can live my life without this body of sin. No longer bound to those things. And the Bible says that those that believe will be resurrected to eternal fellowship with God. That we'll be with him forever. But those who do not believe will be resurrected, and they will enter into the second death. That is separation from God for eternity, eternal torment in hell. We understand those things. And so we as believers, we long for that day. But there's a problem, and that is that we're in between those two events, aren't we? Here's Jesus' resurrection, and here's a future resurrection. And here we are in the middle. You know, one day I was driving to work, and it was a beautiful morning, clouds up in there in the sky. And I remember I was driving down the freeway, and there was this beautiful rainbow. I mean, just absolutely stunning, gorgeous. But it wasn't a full rainbow. It was just the beginning of a rainbow that kind of went up into the clouds, and it stopped. And as I was driving, I was coming down that bend on the freeway right here on the 10, and I was coming by the car dealership. Many of you guys know that spot, and you kind of come down this hill, and you get this broad view of the valley. In that moment, I got a bigger picture of what was going on, and I saw the beginning of that rainbow, but now I saw way on the other side, the rainbow continued on. And anytime I see a rainbow, I start thinking about the promises of God. Why? Because in the book of Genesis, the first time we see the rainbow, it's attached to a promise. What did God say? He said, I will never again flood the earth for the wickedness that's in man's heart. What is God saying? He's saying, I'm giving you a promise that as long as the earth remains seed time and harvest, winter and summer, cold and heat, that I'm not going to flood the earth for the sake of man's sin any longer. But there will come a day that God destroys this earth with fire and the elements are burned up. And so what do we see? We see that there was a promise from God, and we see that there's a future fulfillment, but here we are in the middle. See, maybe today you came into this place, and you say, I know that Jesus raised from the dead. I know that God saved my life, and I know that in the future, oh, by and by, I'll fly away, and I'll go and be with Jesus. But right now, Pastor, I don't see the promise of God. I'm right here in the middle, and there's problems, and there's pains, and there's pressures, and there's things that are coming against my life, trials and temptations, and the devil's trying to get me back. My family's lost their mind. I've got problems on the job, problems at home, problems in the community. Then I turn on the news and everybody's lost their minds. What do I do, Pastor, right here in the middle? See, here's the thing. You can look back to the resurrection. You can look forward to the resurrection, but understand that Jesus Christ right here in the middle, even if you don't see it, has a promise for your life right now, and he is the source of life. He is the one who can gift you life. He is the one who can give you what you need when you need it. He can deliver it to you. I love what it says in John chapter 11, verse 25, because here we find Mary and Martha. You know, I mentioned Lazarus. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. In fact, when they went to tell Jesus about Lazarus being sick, they said, hey, Jesus, the one you love is sick. Now, I know God does not regard the face of man. That God is not involved in favoritism. But how many of you know, even in your family and even in your relationships, there are just some people that are special people. Just some people that you get around them and you're drawn to them. Doesn't mean they're any better than anybody else. Doesn't mean that they're my favorite. You know, look it. There's just some people that are special. I believe this family was special to Jesus. They welcomed him into their home. So much so that the sisters didn't have a problem being sisters in front of Jesus. You got Martha staring Jesus down. Tell my sister to come and help me out. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to tell her. Look at, she's chosen the good thing. She's sitting listening. She's chosen that good part. It will not be taken away from her. He loved these people. He spent time with them during his earthly ministry. They were a place of comfort for him. And so they said, the one you love is sick, and Jesus waits. Lazarus dies, and he shows up, and here comes Martha. In true Martha fashion, what did she say? If you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She might have said that with a little bit of a, you know what I mean? Come on, we're in San Bernardino. You know what that means, little. If you'd have been here, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, if you believe, you'll be raised up. She says, I know on the last day. Jesus says, no. I'm not talking about this broken image that you have right now. Jesus makes a statement. He says this in John 11:25, in the New Living Translation. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. He restructures her thinking in that moment. Jesus had a lot to say about who he was, didn't he? I am the shepherd of the sheep. I am the door that people can go in and come out from. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In fact, at one point he said, before Abraham ever was, I am. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm God. I am. In this moment, he gives Martha a revelation that, Martha, I know you can't see what God is doing right now. I know that you're looking at the pain of a loss. I know that you're looking at the fact that you feel betrayed by me because I didn't show up when you wanted me to. Martha, you've got a broken picture, though, and you're right here in the middle. But let me tell you, right here in the middle, not the past, not the future, but right now, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the one that is the source that you need to tap into. And today you might have come into this place with that broken picture. You might say, yeah, that was great that Jesus raised from the dead back then. Yes, I'm looking forward to the future, but I'm going through something right now. God is telling you, I am the resurrection. I am the source of life. You need to tap into me. Because what the resurrection shows us is unbroken fellowship. Unbroken fellowship. God wants us to live a life with him forever. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's perpetual. That's ongoing. What did God say in the Old Testament? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those are the promises now that we can claim over our lives because we've been grafted in. And now all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. We have unbroken fellowship with the Father. You know, one of the joys of my life personally is that I've been able to not only give my heart and life to the Lord, that's number one, that trumps everything, but you know, in my life, number two, and it's a strong one, even though everything is distanced from my salvation, but number two is getting married. I tell you, when I got married, it changed my life. I'm so blessed by the woman that God gave me. And it's an amazing thing, and oftentimes when I hear people have found that one, God brought these people together, I'm like, yeah, get married. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And I tell especially young people, I'm like, hey, take some time, all right? Take some time. Go travel the world. Do your thing. But then go have a lot of babies. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so fun, okay? Because number three on the list, on my personal list of greatest things that have ever happened in my life, number three was having kids. I tell you, I have learned so much about God from my children. I've had such moments in life because we had some babies. In fact, Chris was just up here, our MD. Y'all love Chris. Man, he's a great guy. Just turned 40, so when you see Chris, you know, if you're in the 40s, just tell him, welcome to the club, Chris. It's good. Come on in. The water's fine. You know what I'm saying? Chris is a good guy. Chris, not only Chris turning 40, Chris is having his fifth baby with his wife, Sarah. Pastor Justin, we tried to have more, but there came a moment where it wasn't happening, and we're like, we don't want to have a kid spaced out all this time. It's going to be like having an only child, you know what I mean? And then, you know, we became the pastors of this church. We said, well, we got 17,000 more babies. We don't need any more. You know, we're done. We got a lot of children, all right? So we're good. I think the three that we got is enough. Chris, man, his quiver is full. That's what the Bible says about having your quiver full. Most commentators say that's about five, right? So Chris, bro, man, God bless. But I tell you, it's such a joy. It's so wonderful. I remember one morning I was driving one of my kids to school. In fact, it was preschool. They were really young. And we were listening to the radio, and there was this song on that we knew. And so we're belting it out, singing along, having a good time. And there was a break in the music, and before they could sing the chorus, my kid in the back seat just starts belting out the chorus. They just, you know, and just went for it. And it was funny because I heard that, and I said, that's right. But then I had the thought, and I asked them, I said, do you know what that means? And they said, no. And so I turned the radio volume down and I started to explain to him. It was a song about our salvation. song about how when we give our lives to the Lord that he comes in and he makes us new. And I said, have you done that? Have you invited Jesus to come into your heart? And they said, no. I said, do you want to? And they said, yes. So I led them in a prayer right there in the car right on the way to preschool that morning. It was great. I was so excited. We said the amen together and they said, okay, Jesus is in there. I said, all right. And they said, but I don't know how to be a pastor yet. I said, that's okay. Let's work on being a Christian first, all right? First things first. And who knows if you're going to be a pastor, kid. That may not be what God wants for your life. Let's work on being a Christian. They said, okay. But then they made this statement. They said, but I don't want to hear his voice yet. I don't know if I'm ready. I thought, that's profound for a four-year-old. You know what I mean? I said, that's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about that. That'll come. And when you're ready, God knows, and he'll be ready to speak to you. So we went on in the car ride, sang some more songs, had some more fun. And when we got to the preschool, I remember that morning as they were getting ready to hop out of their car seat, they said, okay, I'm ready for God to speak. And I think he's ready too. And he's telling me a joke about how the chicken crossed the road. I half believed him. But throughout our kids' lifetimes, both Pastor Jessica and I have had the privilege of praying with our kids, praying the prayer of salvation, praying over their lives, praying over food and praying over bedtime, and praying over their school days every morning as we took them to school. But then we've had some opportunities to pray with them over some more serious things, over the salvation of their friends, over direction in life. I remember sitting on the stairs with one of my kids as they wept and cried and said, Dad, I've been trying to get healed for a year, and it doesn't seem to be working. I've been confessing the promises of God, and I've been saying what you told me to say over my life, and yet it's not working. What's wrong with me? Does God hate me? And I remember weeping with them and crying and telling them, no. Stay in there. Keep going with God. I remember when the devil attacked my children at young ages and gave them night terrors and bad dreams, and they'd come running into our rooms telling us stories of seeing spiders coming out of the roof, things attacking them. I remember in the teen years as they started to look around at their friends and started to feel that pull, even having the devil attack them with grotesque and gruesome images, things of cutting themselves and suicide and different things that we had to walk them through and overcome with them. Even to the point where some of them started to feel that tug away from God, started to wonder about their own salvation and what they're going to do in life. We've had to walk with them through all those highs and through all those lows. It's been a joy to see them overcome, to see them tap into the presence of God themselves. Church, as I've been talking about this, maybe you've been thinking about, well, you know, I haven't had that opportunity to be a mom or a dad. Maybe I haven't had that opportunity to even be a spouse. Maybe you haven't had great parents in your life even. They might have abandoned you at a young age and maybe been absent for all your life. Or even if they were in the home, they weren't in your life. But I'm here to tell you today that I have good news. Because the fact that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and the fact that he has now sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in your hearts, means that you have unbroken fellowship with the Father. And he's a good Father. Even if you had a good father, we don't know good until we know God, because only God is good. And God wants to give you the insight and the wisdom for life. He wants to give you those Holy Spirit nudges. You know the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, that he has a job description? Tells us that he is the counselor. Some of us have spent good money on counseling services, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, I know there's a stigma about that. If you've gone to counseling, hey, good for you. You know what I mean? Because now you're trying to work on yourself. You're getting an outside opinion. You're getting some things to work on. That's okay. It's all right to need some help. But you know what the Bible calls the Holy Spirit also? The helper. And maybe you say, well, I can't afford counseling. I know I got issues. I'm all messed up. Tore up from the floor up, Pastor. Well, hey, I've got good news. You have the counselor. You have the helper. Whatever you need, God is right there with you. He's right by your side. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're striving. Maybe there's things in your life that you have not been able to get over. Maybe you are struggling with sin. You're saying, I can't get over this. I need some help. The helper is with you right here, right now. He's saying, come on, child. Let's go. I got you. I know you can't walk. I'll carry you through this time. I know that you can't make it, but guess what? I've got grace. I've got strength. I've got power. You're going to make it. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is the Bible says he shows us things to come. He might show you a picture of your life in the future, give you some direction and some wisdom, some insight on what it is that you should be aiming at. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit does something else, though. He shows us things to come that are not good. Well, wait a second, hold on. If it's not good, it's not God. No. Sometimes he'll show you bad things too. You know why? Because when it happens, you don't lose your mind. You say, oh, I knew that was going to happen. Bring your worst devil. God already showed me this. I knew it was coming, and because I knew it was coming, I've already been praying. When it happens, you go, God's got this. Why? Because God showed me this already, and I know that if God showed me this, he's not showing me to scare me. No, perfect love casts out all fear. I'm not afraid of the future. Come what may, come hell or high water, guess what? God will carry me through the fire, and God will carry me through the flood. And come what may, I know that God's got this. He'll hide me in the palm of his hand. He'll take me through it. If God's showing it to me, then guess what? God will get me through it. God knows what we need before we ever need it. I love what the book of Romans chapter 6, verse number 9 says in the Message paraphrase. This is Eugene Peterson's way of paraphrasing the scripture. He says, when Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. Isn't that beautiful? When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But when he's alive, guess what? The resurrection shows that he brings God down to us. So we shall be with him forever in unbroken fellowship. Gregory the theologian, who was a 4th century archbishop of Constantinople, said these words. He said, yesterday I was crucified with him. Today I'm glorified with him. Yesterday I died with him. Today I'm quickened with him. Yesterday I was buried with him. Today I rise with him. Church, we rise with unbroken fellowship. And the resurrection shows us that. And in doing so, the resurrection also shows us this. It shows us the power to overcome. Because Jesus overcame death. Jesus overcame the devil. Jesus overcame the grave. He gives us the power to overcome. Remember one time I was writing a message and I had this song in my heart that I used to sing. Some of you guys know that I used to play at every football game. Anybody know that? Every football game, my whole high school career, I was there every football game playing. I was playing in the band on the field right there during halftime show. That went over a whole lot better in the first service. You guys need to get a humorous sense on the inside of you, okay? But anyways, we used to do this song called the fight song. Some of you guys know the fight song, right? Dun, 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 okay. And at the end of it, we'd say, go, dun, 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 fight, dun, 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 win, dun, dun, go fight, win, go fight, win, go fight, win. I remember I had that rolling around on the inside of me one night. And so the next day, I started writing a message. I was preaching on a Wednesday, and I remember I got up here, I preached, go fight, win. That was my 3 points. That was the title of the message. Man, we had a good time shouting it at each other, shouting each other down, having a good time in the church. And I remember it felt good. And a couple of weeks later, I'm at the back door, and I'm greeting at the back door, and a young man comes up, baseball cap on backwards, long hair coming out, look, had that baseball build. I said, you play too, huh? You know, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know. But he didn't greet me. He just came up, and he looked at me, put his hand on, he said, Pastor, go fight, win. I said, yeah, man, yeah. You were there on Wednesday night, huh? He goes, yeah. And he goes, and I haven't been here since. And at first I was like, what? And I was waiting for, oh, well, you know. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen this time. What happened was he said, Pastor, I had surgery. He said, in fact, I've been battling cancer. Young man. I was like, you're too young to battle cancer. But he had cancer in his body. And he knew that he was going in on a Thursday for cancer surgery. And he said, I need God. I need to get a word from God. I need to get in the presence of God. I need to get into the house of God. And so he came Wednesday night, and in that moment of need, God met him with a message that he needed, because he told me, Pastor, after I heard that message, I went to that surgery. I'm fighting this cancer, but guess what? I'm not just fighting. I already know I've got the victory in Jesus Christ. I'm going, I'm fighting, but I win. Go fight, win, Pastor. Every time I saw him from then on, go fight, win, go fight, win, go fight, win. To this day, that young man is now turning into an old man. He is alive and well and has a victory in Jesus. Cancer is just a name, but every name, every knee has to bow at the name of Jesus Christ. And every tongue confess that he is Lord. God has given us the victory. You still got your Bibles? 1 John chapter 5, towards the end of your Bible, if you have Revelation or maps, come on back. Find 1 John. 1 John chapter number 5, right towards the end. And we're going to take a look at verse number 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, it says this. It says, for whatever is born of God. Everybody say, born of God. I want you to notice that when I give an altar call in this place, oftentimes I will say that the concept of being born again is all throughout the Bible. Here is one of those places that you find that. Because if it's born of God, that means that it's born again. And so he says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. What did Jesus say? In the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now we think about that and we say, well, that's good for Jesus, but what about me? I'm still right here in the middle, Pastor. But what did he just say? He said, whatever is born of God, if you are born of the Spirit, if you are born again, then guess what? You overcome the world. Why? Because greater is he that's living in you than he that's in the world. Goes on the rest of the verse and says, and this is the victory. Everybody shout victory. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Some of the translations say your faith. You say, which one's right? The answer is both. Our faith, your faith, the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection secures the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Church, we live now in unbroken fellowship with Jesus, the source of all life. That means he knows what you need, but he also knows when you need it. And if you're right there in the middle and you can't see the promise, then guess what? God is there with you to deliver to you the victory to overcome. The resurrection gets it for us. And now sin can't stop you. Satan can't stop you. Situations can't stop you. When others give up, we get up. When they're discouraged, we're encouraged. When it seems hopeless, we're hopeful. And should we continue in sin? No way. That life is dead and discontinued. I'm not doing it any longer because Jesus lives forever and I'm living a resurrection life forever with him. That's the power that we live in. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of all life. We live in unbroken fellowship with him, and he gives us the power to overcome. Come on, did you get something from the word of the Lord today? Give God a great big praise. I'm gonna ask everyone remain seated at this time. This is not the time to pop up and run out the building. I wanna talk to you about your eternal life, because there are those of you in this place, you're not born of God. You are still dead and separated from God in your sin. And today, if you were to die, you know that you wouldn't make it to heaven, that you would die and you'd end up in hell. I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. But more than both of us, God doesn't want that for you. That's why he sent Jesus, beaten, bloody, and hung on the cross. So that if you died, you didn't have to die and go to hell, but that you could go to heaven and be with him forever. That in that future resurrection, that there's not fearful expectation of punishment and condemnation, but no, there's a justification. That God makes you right with him, and so you'll be with him forever. It doesn't happen because you came to church. It doesn't happen because you memorized scripture. It doesn't happen because you're pretty smart or nice. Sometimes people think that they're Christians because they were raised in church and their parents told them they were Christians. Nowhere in the Bible does it say your parents raise you in church and tell you you're a Christian, that makes you a Christian. It's not there. Not going to make it to heaven that way. Sometimes people think if they're just good enough that they're going to make it to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible says you can be good enough. You know what the Bible says? It says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You're not going to make it to heaven by being good because you can't be good enough. Sometimes people think they're going to go to heaven because as an adult, they sat in church and attended church. Pastor, I'm in church right here today. I'm watching online right now. Doesn't that mean I'm a Christian? No. No, the Bible says sit in a seat in the sanctuary, warm up a spot that gets you right with God. It's not going to make it. You're not going to make it to heaven just by your simple church attendance. I'd pay people to go to the church if that was the case, but it's not going to make it. And I'm loving you enough right now, respecting you enough and honoring you enough to not play games, but to tell you the truth, you're not going to make it. Some might think, well, Pastor, my last church I got involved in, sang in the choir, helped out, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader, even got a membership card to that church. Those are great things. None of them will get you into heaven. Do you know that? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you help out in church, get a membership card, that got some bank commercials on what's in your wallet before you can enter the gates. It's not going to happen. It's not how you get to heaven. But Pastor, I know God. I know about Jesus. I know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs of Christmas every year of my life. Doesn't that mean that I'm a Christian? No. Do you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say, if you know God, you get to go to heaven? The demons believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they tremble. They know they're not going to make it. The devil, you'll find him quoting scriptures. He knows who God is. He's not going to heaven. Look up at me. Don't let anything distract you right now. Look up at me. Even online, look at your screen right now. This is not about what you have up here in your head. This is not about having mental assent towards God, knowing who Jesus is, and that gets you right with him. Rather, you're still watching? It's about your heart. See, being born again, being born of God like we talked about, overcoming and all this stuff that we're talking about in the message today, it only happens when you have surrendered everything to God. You've laid down your life and you've taken up the life of God. See, we were already dead in our sin. But when we come to God and we say, God, I give up. God, I can't do it on my own. I need you. I can't save myself. God steps in. When our faith in him now secures us the grace, the power of God, in order to save our souls. God gets a hold of our life and he makes us brand new on the inside. You get a brand new start with a brand new heart. You might look the same, smell the same, but guess what? Brand new on the inside. The old has passed away and all things become new. And now you've got unbroken fellowship with the source of life, Jesus Christ. Now you have the power to overcome. That doesn't happen just because you showed up to church because you're pretty smart or nice. It happens when you surrender everything to God, all of your heart and all of your life. And there are those of you in this place today, you need to do that. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear the sound of my hand pop on that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're making the statement, I want to give God all my heart, want to give God all my life, want to be born again, headed for heaven, and denying hell. I'll see your hand go up, I'll count it, you can put it right back down. Might be thinking, whoa, 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 wait a second, time out, Pastor. If I raise my hand, you know, I'll be embarrassed. People will see me. That's okay. Jesus said this. He said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. Another translation says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Listen, don't sit there in shame. Don't sit there and deny you. See, if you sit there and do nothing, you made a choice. Today, how about this? Make the right choice. Push past that embarrassment. Push past your pride and give God all your heart. Give God all of your life. Who should raise your hand in a moment? You've been running from God instead of to God. I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure today. Who should raise your hand? Never done this before. Maybe you prayed a prayer one time, but you didn't follow up with your life. Or you know you've never crossed that line giving God everything. I'm speaking to you. Or finally, maybe you're lukewarm, half-hearted. Maybe you're just in a holding pattern in your walk with God. And at one time you're on fire for God, but now you've backslidden. You need to come home like the prodigal. Today, it's your day of salvation. Hands are already up. Come on, let's do it all together on the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high for me right now. Thank you. There's one. There's two. There's three. Thank you. There's four up top. I got you right there. Who else today? There's four. Who else? Five, six, seven. Right there. Eight, nine. Up on top. Got you over there. Thank you. God bless you. There's nine wise people already. Come on, number 10. You're sitting there wondering if you should do this. Yeah, you should do this. Let's go for God today. Who else today? Pointing on this direction. Right there. Oh, right up front. Yeah, I got you right here. Fantastic. Thanks for being patient with me. 10, 11, and 12 right there. Got you. Thank you. God bless you guys. Anybody else that I did not already see? If I saw your hand, you can put it down. Hey, wonderful. Yeah, 13. It's awesome. Awesome. Anybody else real quick? Come on. Let's go for God today. Number 14. Number 14 up top. Yeah, I got you right there. Thank you. Thank you, number 14. Don't you just know there's number 15? If there's 14, come on. You got to round it off, don't you? Number 15, you're sitting there saying, if he gives one more call, then I'll do it. Listen, God is not your trick pony, number one. And he doesn't regard what man tells him to do. But God is also loving and gracious. And he's prompting me to say this, one more call, just for you. If that's you, come on, get that hand up. It might be more than one. Anybody else? Come on, let's go for God today. If that's you, get that hand up real high. Anybody else? Just want to give you one last opportunity. I know, last call, all right? I know. Anybody else? Last call. Come on, number 15. You're sitting there wondering if you should do this. Yeah, you should. Let's go for God. Anybody else? Remember, we talked about nudges. I'm wanting to wrap this thing up. I'm trying to wrap this thing up. But God is nudging me. Hold on one more moment. They're pointing down here. Oh, it's a little hand. All right. Hey, I see you. It's awesome. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. It's fantastic. Number 15. Is there number 16? Anybody else? If God's tugging at your heartstrings right now, don't resist the Holy Spirit. All right, let's give the Lord a hand for 15 wise people. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everybody to stand at this time. Ushers, I'm going to ask you to serve the people in this moment. There's some people that are maybe causing a distraction. I don't want any distractions right now. I want you to just take a moment, okay? You committed to coming to church today. We'll let you go in a minute. I want you to just stay put in your seats for a second. Let's include our faith. Let's celebrate those that gave their hearts to the Lord. And if you raise your hand, you should have raised your hand. You don't get saved just by raising your hand. You got to give God all of your heart. Got to give God all of your life. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. I want to lead you in that confession. A simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart right here at the altar. So if you raise your hand, you should have raised your hand. All 15 of you, number 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Come on. Come on. 23, 24, 25. Come on. Come on now. Come on, let's welcome the church.
The altar.
Come on, family. Let's encourage our new brothers and sisters. They're coming. Come on, you can come too. You can come too. They're coming. They're coming.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Church family, nudge your neighbor. Say, come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them down. Bring them right now. Bring them on down. They're still coming. They're still coming. From the family rooms. If you need to come, your family's welcome. Bring them right now. Grab your stuff. Get in the aisle and meet us up front right now. Come on now. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Come on. If you need to come, just come. Make your way to the front right now. Come on down. Come on down. Anybody else?
Father's
coming, come on, come on. If you need to come, we'll wait for you. Come on down.
What a Savior.
They're still coming. Come on, we'll wait for you. You can come too. Come on down right now. Come on down.
Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Amen. Amen. Hey guys, this is the best decision of your entire life right here, right now. So blessed that you guys came forward, came to give God all of your heart, came to give God all of your life. I know that's a big decision, but it's the best decision. I want to encourage you that, like we said, this is a lifelong commitment to Jesus. And every journey starts with one step. You took the first step. But I want to just give you a perspective that there's no commitment worth anything without consistency. Step number one might be getting your foot in the door, but man, you got to stay in. So I want to encourage you to stay with us this next year. Give us this next year. Commit to coming each week. In fact, come twice a week. We got 8 services a week. How about 3 times? It would be radical. Maybe 4 times a week. Because 1 time a week we'll maintain, but 2 times, start to grow. 3 times, wow, you're going to skyrocket in your faith. That's why we have so many opportunities for people to grow here at The Rock. It's because we're here working hard for you. And so give us this next year, and I guarantee next year, August 31st, 2026, you'll look at your life and say, wow. Look at what the Lord has done. I don't even recognize this new person that God has brought out. God has done away with the old man. He's really made me new. Those thoughts in mind, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody in the room is going to join in together just to encourage you. All right, now I know it can be hard to hear in this room with all this sound and people talking. So if you mess up on some words, don't worry about it. It's about your heart going before the Lord right now. I'll give you short, simple phrases to say. I want you to repeat them out loud. Even online, if you're joining us in this prayer, you can pray this prayer with us right now. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and I want you to say this out loud together in faith. Everybody say this. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus to give you all my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past and give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days. Because from today on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.